Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No. Journey with Rowan. Out the script, we don't charge a penny. Yeah. Weekends calling. Top star, free bowling.
I'm feeling it too. It's been a good day, even though I'm ill. It's been a good day.
So what is it? Is it a cold or?
Oh, dude, like this time of year, like how many colds did I have before Christmas? In and around recording, there was a few. Yeah. This is my first one in 2023, but it's been so unusually cold here recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like you walk outside and it's like, hang on, I know it's winter, but damn,
it's like chill. Don't chill.
Look, I know, like I can recollect for the past few years, this time of year, like I'll walk outside. And I'm like, okay, I just need a jacket. But like, for the first time since I can remember, like, let me get a hat. And let me get some gloves. Let me put like a jumper on underneath my jacket. And even then, I've got a shirt and like an undervest on as well. I'm like, I'm doing all this to protect up here, but you know, down here, apparently boxers and just long trousers enough. No, my little McNuggets are like, you know. What's smaller than a McNugget? Like, not McNuggets. Like, you know, little niblets, bro. Little McNiblets.
At that point, yeah. Yeah, no, it's been... Yeah. I don't know. It's been weird. It's been...
You've had monsoon season.
Yeah, it's been fucking weird, dude. Like, and then after the rain, it gets really fucking cold here. To the point where I walk into my room... And I exhale and I can see my breath.
Oh, and yeah, not like, same.
I'm like, bro, I'm pretty sure I live in Southern California. Last I checked.
I'm used to walking in my room and seeing my huff. That's only because I'm not have my radiator off. Because, like, I keep my radiator off. Like, now you're like, Ed, you live in the UK. It's winter. Mm-hmm. Why is your radiator off? The heating crisis isn't that bad that I need to turn my radiator off in the house. It's because I'm scared of, like, my Xbox and my PS5 overheating.
Makes sense.
And yeah, plus, no, when fair. They're on enough, like, I'll heat up in my little room. Like, you've been in my room. Like, that little thing, like, when it's cold, it's cold. But when it's hot, holy crap, it's like, it's like a little microwave. It's really fucking annoying. It's like, there's no good in between. I like spring, let's put it that way.
spring is good. Spring and autumn, that's good for me. But, you know,
I just hate seasons. This time of year. Yeah, seasons, especially for what we're interested in, film and TV.
Yep.
This month, next 2 months, sucks. Which is why there's something to keep us going, Sebastian.
Yep.
Oscar season.
Woo! It is officially Oscar season. Nominations are out. People are excited. People are upset. It's the Oscars. That's the general consensus.
People will always be upset. This year is one set of audience members that are upset. Next year it will be another group. The year after that it will be another group. You can't please everyone. I am an advocate for he or she who does the best gets the award.
Yeah, same. I will say, just, you know, since we're talking about it, one of the better bits of like good news that came out of the nominations, and I think a good place to start, you know, best actress, Michelle Yeoh, getting nominated for Everything Everywhere All at Once. I can't think of someone who deserves a nomination more, except maybe someone else that we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah, I it's such a well-deserved nomination. She was phenomenal in that movie.
Let's just talk about, so, you know, if that's where we're going to go, let's just talk about best actress. We've got Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Ana de Armas, Blonde, Kate Blanchett for Tar, Michelle Williams, The Fabelmans, and let's just put it out there, Andrea Riseborough? To Leslie? Now, like, I like Andrea Riseborough. Borough. I would say that as Borough in my country. Bower. Just
Burrow.
Redhead. Yeah. Like, you may have seen her in Mandy, Oblivion. She's done a few TV things. But, like, me and everyone else on TikTok are just like, To Leslie was a film in 2022, apparently. Never heard of the movie. When, like, there's two, like, I've got three other choices I could have put in here over Andrea Riseborough. Kerry Mulligan or Zoe Kazan from She Said, which is literally about the downfall of Harvey Weinstein, told through the story of the reporters that did it.
Probably why it didn't get nominated.
No, because, like, look at what that actually did for the film industry.
Oh, no, I know, that was a joke.
Okay. But no, like, I loved the movie. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah.
And then Olivia Colman, Empire of Light. I think she got nominated for a BAFTA for Best Actress, but she portrayed someone who with, like, mental health issues, like, in the 1980s, like, especially in England. Like, if you went crazy, like, just even as a joke, you'd be institutionalized. Mm-hmm. We were institutionalized crazy in this country during the 80s. It was... like, it was mad.
I
don't know if they're trying to be like, you know, there's always going to be a few curveballs, but that was the curviest of the curveballs.
Yeah.
Like, that is my, like, for me, that is my biggest surprise.
Because I watched the nomination thing and they said her name in the movie, and I was like, wait, like, I've heard of the other four and I've heard of their movies. No idea who this person is. No idea what this movie is.
Yeah, same.
Like, zero. But, like,
I don't want to shit on it. But, like,
I've seen
with great female performances. I mean, some people online have suggested. The Woman King.
Yeah, Viola Davis.
Viola Davis. She should have got nominated. And then the lead actress of Till. I've not seen that yet. That's only just come out over here. But it's one of those that came out for a week and was immediately
gone.
Yeeted. Yeah. Let me see here. Thank you, IMDb, for being so fucking helpful. I love you too. Just when you actually need it.
Yep.
This shit really isn't helpful. Daniela Deadweiler. Yeah. Again, you know, never got the chance to see this movie. Probably won't get the chance to see this movie. I remember seeing the trailers and thinking that looks... like, it's definitely a hard-hitting story about the story of Emmett Till's mom trying to fight for justice over his death. So, you know, definitely one of those stories that's like... probably hands itself to Oscars, I would say.
in like there are a couple of them here.
Yoska's
that just,
loves
you know,
itself a biopic.
True, true that. Like fucking Kate Blanchett, Tar. I'm pretty sure that's a biopic, right?
No, it's not. It's not. It's gone nominated for Best Original Script, my dude.
Oh, did not see that one.
It's just.
She was portraying somebody.
It's just set up so well.
That you okay?
Yeah, it's meant to sort of look like a biopic, but it's not. It's about a fictionalized German composer who is in the downfall of a sexual abuse claim. Now I saw this movie, and it's about 2 hours 48 minutes long, and I swear to God, it is, it is one of those movies. Me and my friend came out of the theater. And it was like, we had to look at each other and goes, yo, did the world change whilst we were in that movie? It felt long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know what you're saying. Ed, 2 hours, 48 minutes, that's not that long. Endgame, Infinity War, the fucking Avatar. You got Babylon just came out. Those movies don't feel long.
Yeah, you don't feel the time.
Because there's substance. Tar is this... Like, it's like watching... You remember the lead character in Prey?
Yeah.
Big snub for fucking, costume and fucking special effects there. When she's, going through, the mud, the stuck in the mud scene? It's real slow. That is Tar, man. This movie got such good reviews. I'm here scratching my head as to why. Like, I don't know if I need to see it again. Like, maybe in the comfort of my own home where I can pause it where I'd like, go get a drink... Maybe watch it with my mum so we can, digest what's happened or some shit. But fuck. Kate Blanchett did a fucking great job. Great, great nomination. But, there's a whole lot of other nominations Tar got. And I was like, no.
you know, you're talking, the slow pacing of it. That's kind of my gripe with Blonde. Like, I love Anna de Armas. I was really surprised with what she could do. As far as with Marilyn, but goddamn, man, it's so long and you feel it. I couldn't I got through most of it. I was just like, holy crap.
One of few Netflix nominations, streaming services struggled this year in the Oscars.
This is very
pro cinema Oscars this year compared to last year where Coda was tipped to take most of the awards.
I feel like it's very telling. You know how this pat I don't know if you saw Netflix is starting to put out trailers for all the stuff that they're putting out in the year.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things of what is it? The return of diminishing returns or some shit like that. Whatever the phrase is, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, so it's like the budget matches the audience.
Yeah. So you have all, you're just putting out so many movies. It's quality. It's quantity over quality, essentially, and I feel like this is Oscars is kind of showing that there weren't a whole lot of big Oscar-y movies that came out last year that that I would consider Oscar-y anyway, and a lot of blockbusters kind of made their way into it. You got Top Gun, it's nominated for Best Picture, Avatar, Elvis is also a big one. And you're still competing with the smaller scale films, but I would say those are more blockbustery and big budget as in comparison to the other ones.
So I have my notes here.
Yeah.
And I have so I told you there wasn't that many surprises. You mentioned a movie just now. One of my surprises was Andrea Riseborough. The second one, I've put Elvis. And rather than have so many notes, I just put surprise, Elvis. Every nomination. Now, I don't know if that's because of me not being a massive fan of Elvis or Baz Luhrmann or that movie as a whole, but when we were in a year where like you said, blockbusters seemed to rule the roost again. Elvis wasn't that well received.
Mm-hmm.
It actually flopped. Most movies do these days. It's definitely masturbatory in terms of, look how good Elvis is. for like 2.5 hours. Like the actual in-depth story wasn't there. Maybe like the only one I probably would agree with. Did Austin Butler get nominated for Best Actor? That's the only one I'd probably agree with. Like maybe, you know, Best Costume if it did. I don't really give a shit. But I'm just gonna roll through what Batman didn't get nominated for. Batman didn't get a Best Score nomination for Michael Giacchino. Batman didn't get a Best Director nomination for Matt Reeves. Batman didn't get a Best Nomination for Best Cinematography for Greg Frazier. And it didn't get nominated for Best Editing, William Hoy or Tyler Nelson. And even beyond that, didn't get nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I agree. How
does this movie not get nominated for all of those? For all of them?
No, I definitely agree. I don't agree with it being nominated Best Picture. There's a lot of stuff that I feel like this is one of those movies that only got popular once it hit streaming.
Yeah. Is Elvis already on streaming? Is that how bad it was?
I think the turnaround time was like 45 days or something.
I know it's quicker now, like, but for a movie like Elvis, like that, you'd think that movie almost re-releases with like its digital release, its physical release. You know, it's movies like Megan that I expect to go to streaming like too quick, and it did.
Yeah,
I mean, Megan was actually a pretty fun movie. But like, damn, like Elvis is already on streaming. Like, shit,
it's been on streaming, dude. Like when I was telling you, when I was talking to you about having finally seen it, I saw it on streaming. That's where I saw it. I never saw it in theaters. So I think it was only in theaters for like a month, month and a half, and then it hit HBO Max because it was all over the fucking place on HBO Max.
The times are changing.
But Austin Butler, dude, that man put in work.
Yeah.
So I definitely think he deserves the nomination. So much so, I don't know if you heard, if you've seen that, like, the dialect coach that was helping him perfect his Elvis voice. Apparently they did so much work in him getting to that point, because he still has that voice, that this coach doesn't think he'll ever get his normal voice back.
Oh, shit.
That
says a whole lot about Dune Part 2 that I don't want to know, because that motherfucker's in that shit.
Like, because he was on SNL and he could still manipulate his voice, but like, I think that's his standard voice now. Like, that's his voice. He is Elvis now.
Oh, no. Poor
guy.
Well, see we're over there. Let's stay there. So we've got Austin Butler, Elvis. I'm going to leave the big one for last, because this is pretty much a shoo-in at this point. We've got Colin Farrell for The Banshees of Inisherin. Bill Nighy for The Living. I wanted to see that, but again, just the UK, man, these movies don't come out for long. Like, like blink and you miss them. And then Paul Mescal, Aftersun. I want to see this movie. Aftersun looks like a good movie. It looks pretty chill. It's on Mubi over here. And I'm not paying, £7 a month for Mubi, like, through my Amazon subscription. You know how hard it is to get rid of a subscription that you get through Amazon? You have to go through so many fucking hoops, bro.
Jesus.
It is fucking annoying, and I'm not going through that shit. Like, no. I'll just wait for this shit to come out elsewhere. If not for this next one, I hear Paul Mescal is a good bet. But we got the big, the bad, Brendan Fraser for The Whale. Like, yeah, I think at this point it's got to be. He got Critics' Choice Award. I think Colin got best. He got a Golden Globe, but no one gives a shit about the Golden Globes. You can literally pay for that award. But the Critics' Choice Awards is a very good thing to look at before the Oscars. I know, like, before we started recording, we spoke about the BAFTAs. But, like, the British and the Americans, like, we love to disagree on this shit. Like, like, we could easily have an episode of, like, what's different compared to Oscars and the BAFTAs? Damn, that would have been a good episode. Fuck.
Well, I think I completely agree. I think Brendan Fraser is a shoo-in to win this. Like, he was kind of mentioned when I was talking about how, like, you know, Michelle Yeoh fucking earned it, and this, like, the amount of crap that this guy had to go through to be in this position. If he doesn't win it, fuck.
Yeah. It's it would be a surprise. Like, you know, I love the Banshees of Inisherin. Like, I love how many nominations that got. Like,
I still haven't seen it. I'm going to, though.
That came out in the cinemas over here, and it was one of those that went under the radar. Like, no one really saw it. But then I started telling a bunch of friends about it, and they were like, oh, you know, it came out on Disney Plus the other day, and I watched it. Fuck me, it was good. And I was like, yeah, I know. I told you. Like, yeah, I don't, like... I see a lot of stuff that I don't really mention about. Like, I have some friends that rave about All Quiet on the Western Front. That thing took me 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally had to sit down. I had to strap in, bro, to finish that movie. Good movie, but it's I think it's because it was so hard hitting. Like, it was so in your face. Like, with, like, really horrific visuals. That was like...
Isn't it a remake?
Whoa. No, it's an adaptation of a book. This particular one is an adaptation of a book.
Yeah, so is the 1931.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Technically, I guess it's a remake.
I thought that was called something else.
No, it's All Quiet on the Western Front.
All Quiet on the Western Front. Ah, okay. Well, this one was really good. Again, it was one of those that is like, I guess any movie that's over 2.5 hours long is immediately getting an Oscar right now. Because, you know, you have to literally set aside a whole day.
That one was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, as well as Best Foreign. Like, it's going for that... Yeah. The Parasite double bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Best international film. I mean, I guess it's like, if it's not All Quiet on the Western Front, whatever wins has to be as good as that. But, like, none of these other movies got nominated Best Picture.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure being nominated Best Picture basically means... Oh, you're already going to get this one, so let's give you a challenge by giving you the big one.
Yep. Yep.
Like, that just seems a bit counterproductive.
I heard that Argentina, the Argentina 1985, I heard that was good, but I haven't really seen it.
Let's just give a word out to all the audiences here. There's got, like, you may think we're saying, oh, we haven't seen that, we haven't seen this, but, like, you know. Have you? Like,
yeah.
And unless you have so much free time on your hands, or if you are literally a film buff, like, or if it's your job to do this, like, if you call it your job to do this, like, for your YouTube or TikTok channel, then all kudos to you. But, like, for the average viewer, like, one of these movies is easily obtainable. All Quiet on the Western Front's on Netflix. Like, the rest of these movies, I type them into my Xbox, and I don't get shit. I type them into Amazon or Netflix, and it's like, did you mean this? Like, if you have to go, like, you know, to obscuritywebsite.com, then, you know, that's your own fault. Think about, you know, it's a good thing to think about distribution.
It's also, like, in terms of their theatrical run, like, I'm looking at Argentina 1985, and it's only showing, it, literally, around me, it's only in 2 theaters.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, there you go. Which ones?
One in Culver City, and the LeMay in Santa Monica.
So, and even then, they're in independent cinema chains, which means...
Yeah.
The ticket price is going to be more than you'd expect, and God forbid if you go in there hungry, because you're like, you'll be taking out a second mortgage to get some popcorn and a drink, my dude. And then you've got to like look around. You'll be in there with your jeans and your shirt, and you'll look around, and it's like it's hoity-toity, stiff upper house master central.
I heard about this movie in I Got Butt Fucked magazine, kind of shit. Like, shut the fuck up. No one gives a shit. We're here to see a fucking movie, bro. Like, no one literally gives a shit if your if your favorite movie is like the most obscure South American movie of all time. Literally, go fuck yourself. best original song. Wait, hang on. Where is? The song Taylor Swift's not here. I can't remember which movie, but Taylor Swift did a song this year for a movie where the Crawdads sing.
Yeah, that's another snub.
No, I didn't see that. I thought it was like, oh, you know, yeah, Tay Tay. Like, you know, I'm not a massive fan of Tay Tay, but like where the Crawdads sing was a good movie. Like, my mum loved the book. I thought the movie was really good.
Tay-Tay didn't make it.
The actress in that movie, in Where the Crawdads Sing, is...
She was in a movie recently with Sebastian Stan.
She was. And she was in Under the Banner of Heaven. Daisy Edgar Jones. You check her IMDb, like, she's new, like, as of, like...
Oh no! Yeah,
2021.
I would definitely fresh face. New what was kid on the street?
Is it Normal People you're talking about?
I love that show. I thought it was really good. That show was great. Okay.
What was this? I'm trying to find this Sebastian Stan movie you mentioned. I love me some Seb.
I think it's called Fresh, or
Fresh.
Or
yeah, yeah.
I sees it.
No worse. She plays. Ooh. She's done a few things over the last few years, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is, she was in Outnumbered? I may need to find this episode of Outnumbered. I love this show. She plays Kate in Outnumbered. I need to see if my mum remembers her. Does that mean she's British? No. No. Where the Crawdads Sing is so American. She was born and raised in London. Like, I am blown away. Oh, maybe that's why she didn't get nominated for Where the Crawdads. Maybe that's why she didn't get nominated for Where the Crawdads Sing. America was like, yeah, nah.
Nah.
New. New. Best original song. I hear the Natu Natu from RRR. Like, some people are looking forward to that being played live. It's a bit of an epic, but then again, like, is that nominated for Best International Movie?
No,
it should be. It's like Indian Bollywood Netflix movie, right?
Yeah, it's all over the place, but
yeah,
didn't make the
cut. I've seen some people. It's so like brazen that you can't help but think, yo, I actually liked that. Like, that is the response I've heard. Like, I've had conversations with people, like, when I had my Christmas do with everyone who I worked with over the last year, like, one person mentioned it, and, like, about five other people jumped in the conversation and goes, I was not expecting to enjoy that movie. I was just like, whoa, I thought the movie was a joke. But then I went on Netflix and it was actually there. I was like, oh shit, this movie actually exists.
Like, this is a real fucking thing. It's not a fever
just
dream.
Just the way people talked about this movie, I thought it was like, you know, it was a prank or some shit. But no, they this movie fucking, actually exists. And according to some people I know, it's the tits. Best animated feature. I mean, I want to see Pinocchio, then Netflix. Guillermo del Toro, Pinocchio.
Fucking loved it. I thought it was amazing. Yeah.
Do you think that's
my pick?
That's your pick?
Yeah, that's
I hear Turning Red is very good in terms of about those who struggle with diabetes, insulin shots?
No, Turning Red is, I feel like the theme essentially is like accepting yourself. You know, it's this girl who's
it was a good visualization of like insulin or some shit. One of the kids has a, like an insulin patch I've seen online or something.
No, I don't remember that. It's this kid turns into like a giant red panda. It's like a family curse thing.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah.
What the fuck have I seen then?
I've no idea, bro.
I've just read articles like shit. Ed, maybe don't talk about movies you haven't seen.
Wait, where was this insulin stuff?
Yeah. Hang on. I need to Google this shit. I swear to God. Turning Red. Insulin pump. Yeah, Pixar's Turning Red brings type 1 diabetes out of the... Come on, Google. Out of the background. It is about type 1 diabetes. Susan Fong, the technical supervisor of Turning Red, had a hand in making sure the depictions were true to life. She herself was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes as a child. But since the movie was set in 2002, Pixar said the patch shown is actually an insulin infusion set.
I don't remember any of that. I just
so get fucked, my dude.
Giant. So I mean, girl turns into a giant red panda. Diabetes takes a back seat.
You've seen this movie, and you know less about it than I do.
I at least know the core thing, which is this little bitch turns into a giant red panda.
Well, yeah, because when you don't take your insulin, I don't want to say you basically become the Hulk, but damn, like.
Well, no, that's the thing. I don't remember if it was the lead character who had the insulin, because their whole thing was essentially more generational trauma, which is something Disney's having a fucking field day with. The last couple of big family movies that they've had, that was the main thing. There was no bad guy. It was the family's fucking you up, bro. Take a stand.
Disney wants these kids to rebel, bro.
For real, like it almost feels like Disney's trying to undo all the shit that they have done by putting these like over the top in like delusions of people. You know, like Disney adults. They're trying to create the anti-Disney adults. It's like, no, your family doesn't have to do this to you. You can do your own thing. It's okay. You don't have to go to Disneyland every day just because your mom wants to ride a Small World again.
I'll tell you one thing you can't ride in Disneyland anymore. Splash Mountain.
That's true.
Later, dude.
That's very deuces. Get the fuck out of here.
Deuces. See you fudging later.
You know what's crazy to me?
I've not seen any of these best animated movies.
I heard like, Puss in Boots
doesn't even Puss in Boots doesn't even come out till February here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah, like I've basically seen the movie on TikTok at this point. I know that, like their main baddie whistles a lot.
Obviously I mentioned that Pinocchio is going to be my pick, but like I didn't know what to expect with it when I saw it, but there is like a dark undertone to the way it's portrayed, because obviously Guillermo del Toro, that's how he does his stuff, and you know, like creatures and shit. It made sense for the story, and I really liked the depiction of Geppetto in this one, and the, you know, the changes that they made with like the overall, you know, lore of Pinocchio. It's such a good movie, and it's a fucking beautiful movie, dude. If you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, there's like I'm trying to do my best. Like, sorry to go back to Best International Feature. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of trying to think about what I've seen. Decision to Leave has been left off Best International Feature.
Mm-hmm.
And Decision to Leave is from my boy Park Chan-wook.
Mm.
Probably a best director snub there as well, to be honest. Like, my man did Old Boy, and Decision to Leave was like a phenomenal mystery thriller. Like, definitely, like, sort of, it's up there with
his like top movies of all time, much better than fucking Stoker. Stoker was a good movie. But yeah, like, you know, I need to get busy. So I think I'm going to add Turning Red, just because of how much we laughed about it. Turning Red, Pinocchio, going to add it to the list. Puss in Boots, like, so I had a pretty shit 2022 in the cinema with kids movies. Like, I went to go see
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Jurassic World Dominion in cinema, and there was some kid. Holy fuck. Like, no, okay, Jurassic World Dominion, it's not been nominated for anything. I just want to let you all know, like, I'm reliving some PTSD here. Like, Sebastian's literally watching me. My eyes have glazed over. Like, I'm hearing the gunfire. Like, I've got the ceiling fan fucking turning into fucking helicopters. Like, I'm Michael Sheen up in this bitch right now, bro. Like, they put me in the woods. They put me in the jungle, man. Like, there's some kid. Like, now you have to pay extra for Super Screen. So, like, me and my friend, we were pissed. I imagine his parents were pissed more, man. Because, like, there's no way you're getting your kid a Cineworld Unlimited card. So it costs them motherfuckers 15, 20 quid for this little cunt to be in the cinema screen. Like, no, I'm like, it's the biggest screen we have in my local cinema. And there's stairs all the way up to the top. This little dildo on legs, bro.
Yeah.
He bounces from step to step, going all the way down. Every step. Now, he's like 5 years old, so you can't really, like, can't really say anything. But in my mind, bro, you want to go to the moon? Why wait? Whee! Yeah. Like, I am... I am gonna sleep. Like, I am repeat. Like, I was like, you know, Ed, you're okay. You're talking about, like, you know, punching little kids. Like, if you've been in the cinema with me, God forbid you hear people talking, because I'm that. The more you fuck around, the more you're gonna find out. I'm that motherfucker. Like, I will leave. I will find the nearest person of authority and be like, some fucking dickhead's talking to them, man. I will march back in there with this person behind me. He's like, yeah, I told the teacher on you, and what? All these motherfuckers paid money. We don't need to hear your phone conversation. I don't need to hear you talking. I don't need to deal with your goddamn scumbag kids. And then fucking, again, in Sonic 2, again, not nominated for anything. Some kids were literally, they had some running commentary throughout the entire movie. It gets to the end and Shadow appears. And like me and my mate, we just like if it's just a group of kids, I ain't going to do anything. Like I use, like, if it's adults, yeah, you know, get fucked. But like, it was just a group of kids over there. But like, you know, so I guess they were just doing, it was summer. They were just doing what they were doing. Like, and then Shadow comes on. They're like, oh, Shadow. And I was like, you are a combined collective of 15 years old. There is no fucking way Shadow means to you what he fucking means to me, man. Get the fuck out. There is no way you're going to talk through the whole movie and just sit there and go, oh, Shadow. I was like, you've probably still got shit stains on your drawers, bruv.
There is no, like, okay, right, awesome. Right, best documentary feature. The downfall, the case against Boeing isn't here from a Netflix movie that came out in 2022. I guess Boeing literally said, oi, we don't need any
don't
more
you fucking,
fucking
dare.
Eyes. Don't, yeah, you, don't fucking you fucking do dare. It. Like, anyone flying to the Oscars may accidentally not get there, bro. Like, I saw this movie wasn't on this on this list. I was like, okay. Like, name me any, like, I'm not talking like Lufthansa. I'm not talking like Ryanair. Nah. I'm talking about the motherfuckers that make the planes, bro. All of them are Boeing, besides private jets. You know, the average person, they can't afford private jets. Like, the Boeing 777 exists because the 737 MAX fucked up twice in the space of weeks. Imagine being so cocky making planes, going, oh, we can do no wrong. Actually, when we do, not good. Like,
it's like, I can fuck up. I can make a mistake. You cannot do that.
Yeah, literally. It's like police. It's like, oh, you know, I just, you know, accidentally lost my gun. It's like, you accidentally lost what? It's like being a kid in school in Afghanistan and losing your backpack. You know, I guess you get an A star for that, but are we still on the air?
We're still going,
we're not in the dark zone. We've not been.
I feel like it'd be a great injustice to not acknowledge that we quickly went from pounding kids to sending them to the moon to talking about Afghanistan kids and their backpacks. While we're supposed to be talking about the Oscars.
Indeed. Well, you know, like, look, like, best
it
documentary. It is what it is. Live action short film. It is what it is. Right, here we go. Yep. Best visual effects. I mean, why are other movies here against Avatar? I love me some Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that Batmobile chase is like, the tumbler just looked good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I know the Dark Knight, it, like, there's that, like, yeah, actually, no, yeah, okay, cool. The Tumbler was a good Batmobile. But, like, the Batmobile in this movie, and, like, the visual effects overall, like, the set piece in the stadium at the end, gorgeous. But, like, Avatar, Way of Water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Damn. Did you see this movie in the end?
I was going to, and then I remember when I was going to go. I don't know if there's an issue with the theater that I was trying to get tickets to, but like the tickets that I had were canceled, and I spent like I associate this movie now with a headache.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. That, like, I think the as poster soon as it drops, of this movie worldwide it. Is one of the kids like with its hand on like what James Cameron says we're not allowed to call a whale. But it's basically a giant space whale. you don't want to call it a whale? It's fucking Kyogre then. Because it's a Kyogre Whale Lord mix. Oh, that would make a good Pokemon. At this point, Avatar is basically Pokemon. Like, that actual moment in the movie, my jaw went. It was good. It was good. There were some really fantastic looking moments in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see whalers, like space whalers, you know what whalers are, like the harpoon, like Shamu and all that, and get away with it. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where, like, that, like, there's a good message from James Cameron basically giving all of them the middle finger. It's fucking awesome. It's fucking awesome. They get wiped away, bro. I'm just going to tell you. These whalers, they get fucking destroyed. This whale's like, look, when you don't hit me in the right spot, I'm invulnerable. You know what I'm going to do if you'd hit me and miss? I'm a come for your bitch ass. Little fucker just goes, Kyogre lands a body slam. Me and my dad, we were in bits, bro. We were in bits. This whole cinema was full. Me and my dad were the only motherfuckers going, ha! Literally, oh, like, shit. I was like, yeah!
I will say, Black Panther, though, the way they did, like, essentially their version of Atlantis and everything with, you know, Namor and everything.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought that was really fucking sick. Like,
yeah, nah. You mean Toloka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the Tolokans
look great. I mean, the visual effects on the first time seeing Ironheart.
That was awesome.
Like, that was awesome. She understood the assignment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there was some great weapon design in that movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the attack on Wakanda itself, it was nice to, like, we've seen sort of passing through shots. It was nice to have some scenes, like, in the heart of Wakanda for this movie. Yeah. So they had to design that sort of whole thing, like the street level through to like all the buildings. And even then, it's like, what if they get attacked? They can just move these fuckers? They can just move these buildings stack like containers, bro. I was like, that's awesome. I mean,
I love all like the water effects.
The stacks in Ohio in Ready Player One wish they did that shit.
Oh, for real.
that was phenomenal. All Quiet on the Western Front. Like, I didn't think there was much special effects here until I saw. I love it when someone's real for this kind of stuff. Like, I've done a lot of color grading, real watching recently because I need it for my movie Westwise the Raven. I love it when they show, like, here's what it looks like with log, and it just passes through like with each stage of like adding stuff. And I love seeing, like, what's added in each stage from, like, the initial shot that you see. Like, the shot's, like, and, like, it's ongoing, like, you know, sort of passing through the trenches or some shit. It's like, here's what they shot. Here's what we added. Here's what we graded it to. Here's how we, like, added some other stuff. I was like, whoa! They basically filmed nothing! Like, they had to add the trees in this movie! Like, I guess the last thing, you know, France wants is, you know, the trenches being rebuilt because they already had them twice. next World War, can you guys fight somewhere else? Yeah, fighting in Ukraine, bro.
oh,
I mean,
shit.
Like, it's on the horizon. Like, you know, watch these movies whilst you can because in 2 years' time, there ain't going to be none. Can they hurry up with phase 5 and phase 6, please? We need it before we all die. But I mean, actually, now that I think about it, difficult Oscar. Because Top Gun Maverick as well. There was some good effects in there, man. Like the whole Dark Star scene is like, you know, we talked about it not a couple of weeks ago.
I definitely think Avatar's going to take it. But it won't take it easily.
It will.
Yeah, it's not.
How would we know? It's not like they. It's not like they rank these fuckers. Like, here's what won, but here's what could have won.
I mean, it's essentially what they do. They give you the other four that could have won, but you know, no dice.
Like, okay, so Avatar not here. What wins?
Avatar not there. I'm going Black Panther.
I think Avatar not here. I'm going All Quiet on the Western Front.
Fair.
Like that is Saving Private Ryan levels of good in terms of a war movie.
No, damn.
I'd say the best war movie since Saving Private Ryan. Better than 1917.
Oh, okay.
Shit. Yeah. That was really good. It just takes a while to watch it. Like, either set aside like 2 days where you can like sort of split it in half at your own pace, or like set aside a day and just let people know it's like, look, I'm watching this movie. So, shut up.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off. Best supporting actress. I'm so glad to see Angela Bassett here.
Same.
She blew
me away.
she, yeah, so good, so good. And I'm actually also happy to see Stephanie Sue in here as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I recently rewatched Everything Everywhere All at Once.
She's like so good.
My Xbox and my monitor upstairs can play 4K. So like, I was like, look, I'm making a deal to what, like, if I can see something in 4K, I need to be like, whoa. Like, I stared into the fucking bagel, bro, and that motherfucker stared back. Like, probably not a good thing, because, you know.
It's no, not like, ideal.
It's kind of evil. But, like, yeah, so good. Such a good performance. Especially, like, how, like, I think her characterization, like, the first time I watched it, I was just like, I didn't get her character. Mm-hmm. But the second time watching it, where I can, like, sort of, you know, in depth, you know, sort of turn my lights off, really get into it, I was like, fuck. Like, your life in every universe sucks. I'm sorry. But yeah, so good. Jiminy Curtis, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
also very good.
I was very, I'm not going to lie, Jamie Lee Curtis being nominated was a surprise to me.
More of a surprise than Stephanie Sue?
Like, if I had to choose between the two of them, I probably would have given the nod to Stephanie Sue. So, Curtis was like, she. I thought she was great. I don't know if she was same level as Stephanie Sue, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. I've not seen The Whale yet. I just know how good Brendan Fraser is in it. I see it next week, actually, because, again, I think we get The Fabelmans comes out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think I'm seeing that next week also. It's a good week for Oscar movies next week for me, because I'm going to rewatch all these ones I've not seen, and in cinema I get to see The Fablemans and The Whale. Really excited. Where I hear Hong Chau is phenomenal. Like, for some people, like, they're glad to see that she's also getting some recognition. Kerry Condon, who, if you don't know, is the voice of Friday in the Iron Man suit and Spider-Man glasses. Shit. Yeah. in the Banshees of Inisherin. I think, yeah, like, we'll get to supporting actor at some point. You know, if I stop, you know, yeeting little kids into the stratosphere and being overall offensive. But, you know, we're freeballing. like, she's definitely, like, mm-hmm. I, like, as a sort of, that is how you show female empowerment.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, in the time, like, especially in the time frame, like, this is set in Ireland before World War II, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember fully, but, like, in the time, like, in a time in Ireland when, like, it was basically the men ran everything, to show a character like Kerry Condon, like, taking control, because she's just sick and tired of, like, the banal bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it was good to see.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's definitely, like, I mentioned it popped up on HBO Max a couple of days ago, so it's definitely on my list to watch.
It's funny how, like, it's on Disney Plus for us.
Mm.
I feel like if you came back over here and you looked at Disney Plus, you'd go back home and you'd hate your own.
Why is it all so spread out?
Yeah, we have our Disney Plus is great. Like we have all this shit. I was actually talking with someone the other day about, like,
Disney Plus is great. This
is on Disney Plus over here, and they were like, "Wait, what? Say those movies again?" And I was like, "This isn't, like, I can't remember which ones. I can't remember the conversation. I just remember that, like, my friend was like." All of those movies are on three different streaming services in America.
Jesus.
we gave up on trying to get Hulu. We just got Disney Plus instead. And, like, Disney was just like, okay, cool. If it's on Hulu and Amazon don't have the rights to show it internationally, we'll just put it on Disney Plus internationally. It's like, good job, Disney. Because I don't need to pay for Hulu and that whole adless bullshit that Hulu was the first one to do. That cost so much money, Hulu without ads. I remember. Best documentary short?
Yeah.
best original score? Why isn't Batman here? I said it earlier. Why isn't Batman here, man?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't anything Michael Giacchino's done this year here?
Couldn't tell you.
I mean, I hope Babylon wins. Like, you can hear the soundtrack when you watch the trailer. Like, it is that good in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, if the music in the trailer, like, gets you in, it's like, whoa, this is fucking pump. It's by Damien Chazelle. The motherfucker literally trained in music school before he became a filmmaker. Of course, the music in his movies is going to be the tits. And
oh, no, yeah, for sure.
And there's a lot of tits in Babylon. But it's like, you know, I know Babylon over here is a lot better than Babylon over there. Like, over here, people love it. But you were saying the other day that it's not been very well received in the US.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that hinders its chances leading the way to... I mean, I've not seen The Fablemans. Pretty forgetful music. Everything Everywhere All at Once is just so good visually that I just, like, I can't recollect the score. Or Quiet on the Western Front.
I saw nominated for this and I had zero idea what the hell the score was. Like, I have no idea. I couldn't tell. Like, if you asked me to describe it, there's no way in hell I could do it.
I tell you which one I can describe, and it's probably a good bet. All Quiet on the Western Front has a very sort of visceral, industrial vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like there's, like, it's sharp. It hits you. Like, you know something's about to go down when you hear this score. Like, it's not what you expect. It's not all, like, violins and shit. It actually feels like cannon blasts, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the score sort of hands itself to, like, sort of alongside a big action set piece. But, like, they actually play the score in moments without the war.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, yeah. Well, Quiet on the Western Front is a good shout here. I've not seen The Fableman, so I wouldn't know. The Banshees of Inisherin, again. Like, I thought Black Panther had a great score.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way, like, it took ideas from the original Black Panther and sort of gave it almost a watery vibe. Avatar, like, I literally just said watery vibe. I was like, Avatar, again, I love sequel movies that don't try to, like... They don't forget what they were.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch Avatar 1 before watching Avatar 2, you can watch Avatar 2, and sort of, like, the music almost welcomes you back. It's like an old friend. Mm-hmm. Like, and Avatar 1, a great music. I'm pretty sure Avatar 1 won best score. Let's fucking have a look. You know what? I'm in this rabbit hole. I'm in this, some bitch. You guys are coming with me. You know how to spell Avatar Red. Do I, though? Apparently not, apparently.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, there it is. There's just trailers underneath Avatar 2 that sort of hide the original now. This movie won a lot of awards, so... It won 3 Oscars. There's a chance. Mm-hmm. You're saying? There's a chance. It didn't win Best Score. It wasn't even nominated Best Score. I literally hate my life. It got nominated Best Sound Mixing and Best Sound Editing. Oh, no, here it is. Here it is. No, it did. They've just shortened it. It's now Best Original Score. But it used to be, holy fuck, what a mouthful. That's what she said. Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures Original Score. What the fuck is that novel of a title for an award? Like,
Best Original Score. There you go.
You remember when walking into McDonald's used to be sensory overload of, like, the leather chairs? Like, there's just the shapes in different colours on the wall, and now it's all, like, minimalist with browns and greys and shit. Just like... McDonald's grew up and got really depressed. So yeah, it did get nominated. James Horner returns for the score in Avatar 2. So Oscars, what the fuck, man? Why do we need to give? Why does Best Original Score need to be music people don't know.
I mean,
like I feel like the Northman wasn't nominated for anything. Rightly so, America hated the Northman. Like, I've not seen anyone on Twitter when the Northman's come up, like, in an article, that someone from America hasn't immediately, like, oh, this movie was shit. I was like, okay, cool. Did you even see it? Like, the Northman music was fucking phenomenal. Like, that didn't, you know, that didn't get best visual effects. It should have. But, like, I you know, I could have put, like, snubs, Northman, everything. But, like, I kind of, like, I can understand why, though. But, yeah, I feel like best original score is, like, overall letdown, especially if Babylon doesn't win. It looks like they've designed this to make Babylon win. But there's a lot of other...
It's got to get something for its... massive.
I mean, it's not been nominated. It's not been nominated for that much, bro.
Oh no, that's why it's gotta get something.
I think best original score might be it, dude.
Oh no, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Most likely.
That's all Babylon got.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, it needed to get something.
Needed to get something. All right. Do we want to end today's episode on best supporting actor?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we've been here for an hour. I mean, I guess we've been here for about 40 minutes. There's at least 10 minutes of me just not talking about the Oscars. Who do we like here, Sebastian?
I mean, my pick's Ke-Huy Quan.
Ah, there he is. Agreed. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Man deserves it.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, no disrespect to any of the other guys. I love all of them. I think Brian Tyree Henry is definitely on his way. Yeah, I haven't seen The Causeway. I know it's an Apple movie.
No.
He did with Jennifer Lawrence, but I mean, he's there, and I fucking love him in Eternals. I love him in fucking Bullet Train, and I love him on Atlanta. So I think he's a phenomenal actor.
He's Bullet Train. He's you look like a diesel.
Tangerine.
Yeah, Tangerine.
He's just a diesel.
Like the fruit. But Brendan Gleeson was pretty good. Barry Coggan, very good. Both good characters.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not as good as Colin. Like, I guess if not, how do you pronounce Ke-Huy Quan?
Yeah, Ke-Huy Quan.
Yeah, I don't want to butcher that name. I apologize. If not him, I would probably go. It'd probably be between Brian and Brendan.
Nice. Nice.
I did do a little bit of research, especially into the movies. Like, I kind of wanted to see what other people felt was a surprise. And a common surprise was Judd Hirsch over Paul Dano for The Fablemans.
Damn.
Yeah.
I
would have put Paul Dano as the Riddler in here.
Honestly,
he did a really good job as the Riddler, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, me and you, we just love the Batman. I just think, you know, the Oscars needs to stop hating on the movies that
people actually watch.
Are actually well received.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a common thing, though. Like, you know, they're always going to go for. Like, it's why we call movies Oscar bait. Like, this isn't a new conversation we're having. You know. And I like this episode's probably been mostly me and Sebastian complaining about the Oscars. That's what we do. That's what people who watch movies do. Like, you think out of every award ceremony that should get it right consistently, why do the Academy Awards get it wrong consistently?
Oh yeah. And not even just like what's being nominated and like who's being nominated to. Like, but again, that comes to like, if you deserve it, you're going to get the nomination. But then that, you know, that whole leads to the, like, who says it's deserved and stuff. But, like, it's the whole thing. The Oscars, though, are.
I think, with how we're like. I need to spitball an idea with you after we finish recording. I don't want to say it on the recording, but I have an idea. I think you may be thinking it too. We might be mind sharing here. I'm not too sure. I'm getting a little bit of a headache. And maybe that's because my thoughts to your thoughts. We're sort of mind melding across countries right now. We'll be back next week for part two. We've got a whole there's you know, best director, original writing, screenplay, adapted, and then most of the technicals.
And again,
it's gonna be more of the same, folks. I didn't think they missed out that much. I looked at this earlier and thought I generally agree with this, but like only talking about it now do I realize a lot of good movies came out in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were spoiled. Like some people may disagree, but you know, that's the eye of the beholder. I felt like there was a lot of good movies in 2022. It was a return to form, I would say.
It's for me like one of those, you know, saying it's a return to form. There were a lot of good movies. I agree. There were a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, the more I'm like kind of kicking myself for not watching more. I think that's why I have such a disconnect with this year's Oscars, because I spent most of the fucking time watching TV.
I'm doing really good. I'm keeping track of what I've seen. Like we're getting a lot of 2022 movies in the cinemas right now. But in terms of cinema so far this year in 2023, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've seen six movies in the cinema so far this year.
Haven't been in the movies this year, like catch up.
Like I think that's why we deliberately don't have that many movies come out in December or like November. Like we'd literally save them for January, because if we did what you did, cinema chains would not survive over here. Like January alone, like the way America has a cinema, like January cinema, like that month alone could probably cause closures, mass closures in England. Yeah, it's bad.
Damn.
Like sometimes I feel like me and my friend are the only one keeping our local cinema chain here, man. Like,
no, man, I haven't been to the movies this year at all.
Damn, dude, go.
Like all the new shit that I've been watching. I've been, you know, stuff's been popping up on streaming, so I'll watch that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just remember what your goal was to
watch more movies.
I don't know if you specified how, but as long as you're watching movies, I'm happy.
I'm definitely watching movies. It's just like, you know, the showing up on streaming, I don't have to pay for a ticket right now. Shit's so expensive.
Yeah.
And then the drive and all that stuff. It's literally just the most comfortable option of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. You know, at some point I will make my way to a theater. It's just, I'm at that point where the movie has to be fucking worth it.
when you come to visit me in Burbank, that's when you'll go.
There you go.
Ant-Man will probably still be out.
Oh, fucking A.
Yeah. That's right. So Oscars part one.
Oscars part one.
Join us next week for Oscars part three. Fuck part two. It's not that good. No.
Just jumping over part two.
jump over part two. But no. Do you want to hit him with the classic?
Yes, sir. Remember to like, subscribe, share, follow us on Instagram. Please. It'd be nice to interact with you guys. Please. And let us know what your Oscar picks are. And, you know,
tell your friends.
Tell them.
If you want to.
We don't have a gun to a dog or anything like that.
I may kick you into the moon if you annoy me in the cinema, but like that's about it. Like,
yeah, there you go. a dog's life and getting kicked to the moon. We'll see you next week.
1, 2, 3, 4. Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.